A new report finds that suicide rose in Wisconsin by 15% over nearly a decade, with the state's suicide rate being above the national average.
That's according to the group Prevent Suicide Wisconsin. The new report finds that people in rural areas, veterans, and Native Americans are at a higher risk of death by suicide.
Their analysis also finds that more than half of all suicide deaths involved the use of a firearm.
Lawmakers have introduced a package of bills to curb firearm-related deaths. One part of the package is this proposal to create a voluntary do not sell registry. That's where people could ask to be placed on a list that would be flagged on a background check if they attempt to purchase a firearm.
Representative Lee Snodgrass of Appleton is a co-author of that legislation. Representative Snodgrass, welcome back to the show.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
So you are one of the authors of this proposal to allow Wisconsin residents to get on a voluntary do not sell registry for firearms. Why do you see a need for this? What was the motivation behind it?
That's correct. And actually, this came from a constituent. My first term in office, I received a phone call from somebody who said they were in a crisis. They were considering harming themselves. And they decided that they wanted to see if they could add themselves to a list where they would not be able to purchase a firearm. They discovered that that list did not exist. And from there, we worked on some legislation.
How would this do not sell registry work?
Well, the Do Not Sell Registry would simply allow somebody who feels that they are at risk to themselves or others to put themselves on a DOJ Do Not Purchase or Do Not Sell firearms list. The DOJ would then verify to make sure that they had indeed been the ones that sent that, to put that name over. And then they would also have the ability to remove themselves from that list. Just like we've talked about waiting lists for buying a handgun, this would be a 48-hour waiting list to get off of that voluntary Do Not Purchase list.
As you mentioned, this doesn't exist in Wisconsin, so that's why you're doing the legislation. Did you look to examples from other states or municipalities in the country that have done similar things?
And that's always the due diligence when you're writing legislation, is to sort of see what other states have done that. There are a couple of other states. It has not been widely passed into legislation yet. But, you know, I really see this as, you know, something that is a personal freedom. It's a freedom for somebody to say, you know, I'm worried about what I might do to myself if I have the tools to take my own life. We know that suicide attempts with a firearm are 90% effective. It goes way down to 4% after that. And we also know that most gun violence deaths by suicide in Wisconsin are by guns. So we wanted to make sure that we gave people all the tools that they needed if they chose to keep themselves safe.
Now, reporting from the Trace, found not a lot of use of these programs in states like Washington, Utah, and Virginia that have them, only 130 people. Is this something that is a difference maker? Is this going to be such a niche thing that it's not really going to make an impact here in the state?
Well, I happen to believe that if one person's life is saved by putting themselves on this list, then it is worth it. We really need to view all of the gun violence prevention measures as cumulative, and this is simply one of those tools.
People might say, if people are concerned about, worried, opposed to gun legislation, well, this sounds okay because it's voluntary, but, you know, slippery slope, this is a foot in the door to regulating guns. What would you say to people who raise that line of objection?
You know, this is no different than a similar program to put yourself on, if you have a compulsive gambler who puts themselves on a non-access to gambling. Republicans have been in support of that. I think sometimes people, you know, switch when they like personal autonomy or not. And I really think if somebody is in a mental health crisis and they're worried that they're going to harm themselves, the state needs to do what it can to provide them tools to do what they think is best to keep themselves safe.
Representative Snodgrass, thanks again for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
That was Representative Lee Snodgrass of Appleton talking about a new proposal to allow residents to put themselves on a voluntary do not sell list for handguns. This new proposal comes as a new report delves into data on suicide in Wisconsin. It offers solutions on how to reduce suicide around the state. To dig into those new numbers and some solutions, Erica Stibe joins us. She's Suicide Prevention Program Manager for Mental Health America of Wisconsin. Erica, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Big picture, overall, suicide rose by a couple of percentage points, a 15% increase over the last decade or so. What do we think might be behind those numbers?
Yeah, Suicide continues to be a significant public health concern for Wisconsin. There are many factors that contribute to suicide. Obviously, people tend to think about like mental illness, right, which can play a part and is shown to play a role in only about half of suicides, actually. But there's a lot of other stressors and very common just life circumstances that also can be risk factors for suicide. Relationship stress, financial stress, employment or legal loss or like legal involved justice system involvement. There's a lot of things also at this day and age that really just make people feel like they don't have a future, and people have been really struggling to survive. And especially so in the last like several years, where economic recession and job loss is very common. Most people can't afford a $1,000 emergency. And I saw a really interesting statistic just last week that only 75% of US residents still believe in the American dream, like this concept that if you work hard enough, you can achieve economic security. And that means only 25% of those polled really think that they are able to achieve like upward mobility. And I think that says a lot about like the kinds of futures people feel like they have. So yeah, it's never just one thing. When we look at suicide, there's so many reasons and underlying feelings and situations that can lead up to suicide and that can contribute to risk. And we know that things are very hard for people today.
In just a bit, we'll look at some solutions, but I first want to focus in on some groups, some areas that seem to be particularly vulnerable to the risk of suicide. One thing that stood out, rural Wisconsin has a higher rate of suicide than urban Wisconsin. What do we see in that difference?
We talk about like social determinants of health in public health, and that concept is referring to the conditions that people live in that shape like their quality of life and their ability to access resources. So like education, like physical availability of services, like environmental factors, as well as income status, all can be social determinants of health. And so in rural areas, we tend to see a lot less availability of healthcare and mental health resources. There is a really severe provider shortage in rural areas, as well as rural areas tend to be a lot more like physically spaced out. So people don't tend to feel like physically close to their neighbors. And so that can sometimes contribute to feelings of isolation and loneliness and just lack of community support. And there's also unique economic stress for rural folks, especially working in like agriculture. Again, the prices of everything going up, and it's just harder and harder to like maintain these like family businesses, and economic stresses like that can also play a unique role for rural folks.
Community-based prevention efforts, that's the first part of your prevention plan. And one of the items there is boosting social connectedness as a way to help build those connections and prevent that isolation that can contribute to suicide. If I'm a member of a community, maybe with a community group, what kind of things can I do to boost that social connectedness as a method of suicide prevention?
We need to not be afraid to talk about suicide and other like difficult feelings. And so I think that's an area where literally anyone can build skills and comfort and confidence in talking about suicide and holding space for conversations about difficult feelings, to not run away from the topic, to not avoid it. Because people naturally are gonna turn first to the people closest to them, to their social networks, their friends, family members, maybe coworkers, maybe colleagues. But that's I think an important part of social connection is being able to hold space for things that are hard as well. And on the other hand, I will say that I think people need to be able to have authentic connections with others in their communities. And so a lot of things that can reduce suicide are actually just so simple, like quality time with people that you love, being able to pursue like creative hobbies, physical activities, different things like that. And so, social connection has to also include just helping each other create a life that we want to live.
That idea of talking about suicide, I think it's something we've historically wanted to avoid, right? Either a family might have thought it was shameful, or people worry about bringing up the concept of suicide, thinking, oh, that's going to put the idea in somebody's head. How can we make sure we have real and productive conversations about suicide?
It is an old myth that some people still hold on to, that asking about suicide can like plant the idea in someone's head. Like that's definitely not true. And that's been disproven over time. I think we all need to think about connection as prevention. A teacher that I look up to, Caroline Maslow Carlton, she has said in her training, Alternatives to Suicide, that pain witnessed is pain transformed, which sounds incredibly simple. And that's, I mean, that is true. Like actually the things that are the most effective are actually so simple, but also something that people really struggle with, which is, you know, asking people like how they're really doing and asking like, you know, not just about like, are you thinking of suicide or do you have the means? Those are important questions, but they don't really get at like the how. Like, how are you feeling? Like, why are you feeling this way? And so I think that we need to be able to shift into an approach of like slowing down and taking a curious approach when we are talking to someone who's struggling or if we're concerned about someone, like be direct, but also be, you know, to slow down and to really give them space to actually talk about those things and to talk to folks and ask them like, you know, what does keep you here? What do you want to do with your life? Like what do you want people to know about the situation you're in and what do you need? I think people get wrapped up in trying to fix people's problems without actually asking them what they need. And that can be, that can really open up a lot more possibilities when we let people tell us what it is they need and how, you know, explore how we can help them get it.
With that in mind, and with the conversation we had with a lawmaker about creating this voluntary registry to say, hey, don't, you can voluntarily say, hey, don't sell me guns for a while. How about broaching that conversation if someone's concerned about suicide and they know the means are there, firearms, as you mentioned, one of the most common means. How do we have a conversation like, hey, is it time, at least for a while, to set aside the guns, put them in somebody else's care?
Again, it's an important question to ask directly and conversation to have directly. And it's understandable why it makes people nervous. We can ask and talk to people about like the means that they have available to them and let them know, you know, from this like vulnerable and honest place, like, I would be really sad if I never saw you again. I care about your safety. Can we work together to create a safer environment for you while we figure out all this other stuff that you're struggling with? And so that's definitely a question, again, anyone can ask, and it can be like, you know, temporarily transferring means to a trusted loved one's house while that person gets through this period. Or there are also quite a number of firearm retailers in the state of Wisconsin that offer free storage, free temporary storage for exactly this reason. There's a really good program, Live Today, Put It Away. If you Google it, they have a map of Wisconsin and all these different retailers and also police departments that are willing to temporarily store things.
Erica, thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Erica Steib is the Suicide Prevention Program Manager for Mental Health America of Wisconsin. The group's new report and recommendations are online at PreventSuicideWI.org. Earlier, we heard from Representative Lee Snodgrass of Appleton, co-author of a proposal to allow residents to put themselves on a do-not-sell list for handguns. If you or someone you know is in crisis, you can call or text the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline at 988. That's 3 digits, 988.